اسماء هؤلاء الصادقين. So we talk about the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and he told angels about the creation of Adam, that he is going to do that. And the angels, they replied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, you remember where they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. So they were talking about the possibility of whoever is going to be placed on the earth to be involved in corruption and destruction. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you don't know. So this is where we stopped. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allama Adam al-asma' kullaha. Yes, this one also we did that before we stopped the classes. Allama Adam al-asma' kullaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names of all things. Thumma aradahum 'ala al-mala'ikati faqala anbi'uni bi asma'i ha'ula'i in kuntum sadiqin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed those names to the angels and entities and objects to the angels and asked them to tell him about the names of those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam what to say and the name of everything and everything that is possible for him to know. So he says, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things to the angels and asked them to inform him about the names of those things. And if they have big knowledge, you know, and if they are thinking in this way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them and also to let them understand that an intellectual and a smart creation is going to be placed on the earth. It is not in the way they are thinking about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allama Adam al-asma' kullaha. So names of things. This is this, this is that. You know, differences of opinion amongst the scholars. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we taught him the names of everything. So those things that are around him. You can tell them, this is Adam. This is Mikael. This is Jibril. This is Tayyib, this is this and that, whatever is in front of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him the names of those things and others. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things to the angels and asked them to tell him the names of these things. So last that's also, if you remember, we quoted the hadith of Shafa'a, where this meaning is being confirmed. That people, when they reach that tough kind of situation, they go to Adam and praise him. One of the statements mentioned by the people to Adam to convince him, you know, in trying to convince him to accept their offer to go and intercede for them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they told him, عَلَّمَكَ أَسْمَعَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَوْ أَسْمَعَ الْأَشْيَاءَ كُلِّهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught you the names of all things. So this is a favor and a karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the human beings. And ثُمَّ عَرَضُهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things, أي المسميات, to the angels. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. So he told them, tell me those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Tell me the names of those things if you are truthful. In your statement, أني لم أخلق خلقا إلا كنتم أعلم منه فأخبروني. And this is an interpretation of some scholars. إن كنتم صادقين, if you're truthful in your claim that whatever I create, you have some knowledge about what exactly that thing is going to be engaging in. So إن كنتم صادقين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you truly know what will happen to this creation, so then tell me the names of these things that are next to you. So, قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. So they said, سبحانك. سبحانك, glory be to you. This is a kalimatu tanzih, we use Subhan, you know, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all types of deficiencies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any deficiency whatsoever, and deficiency or shar cannot be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. The most complete, the most perfect, and there is no perfection beyond the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that of His is endless. Yeah, it is the most excellent, the most powerful, the most perfect. So that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say subhanallah, you should have this understanding in your brain that you are actually believing or saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have deficiency. So in your actions, your statements, your sarafat kulliha, you should be reflecting this, you know, doing nothing except that which will confirm that you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most perfect and the most excellent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala received from the angels that statement. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. He said, glory be to you, Ya Allah, subhanaka. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Actually, we don't have any knowledge except that which you taught us. Sorry. Other than that which we received from you, we don't have anything else. We have no knowledge except that which you taught us. SubhanAllah. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And Ya Allah, you are Al-Alim. Al-Alim means the all-knowing, the one who knows everything with no restriction. Yeah, Al-Alim means the all-knowing, the one who knows everything with no restriction. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Al-Alim is the one who knows everything with no restriction. Al-Hakim, the most wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his attributes is al-hikmah. What is al-hikmah? وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ الصَّحِيحِ. Putting things in their own proper position. That's hikmah. To put things in their own proper position, this is what we call al-hikmah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is adorned with hikmah. It's attached to the hikmah. You know, because there are people who have knowledge, but they lack the wisdom. So nobody should come and think that the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equal to those ones. That's one of the meaning of subhanallah, you know, subhanaka ya Allah, meaning your knowledge is full of wisdom, the most complete and comprehensive knowledge, which encompasses everything. And also, it is not attached to deficiency whatsoever. So, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We don't have knowledge except that which you taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are al-alim and you are al-hakim. Al-alim means the one who knows everything. So this ayah also is going against those al-qadariya who are believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know something. You know, because they are claiming that Allah does not know what we are doing until the time we do it. Allah only knows what we are doing when we do it. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. Ta'ala Allahu amma yaquluna 'uluwan kabira. A'udhu billah. Whatever they're saying is an absolute false. It is false. You know, creating a lie and attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a great deficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows everything with no restriction. And in fact, our deed, the knowledge of our deed is part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing what we are doing is part of Allah. This is sifa that here lillahi azza wa jalla. There was no time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know something. No time. And these things, you know, what we are doing, you know, whatever we are doing, they have been written. Not just knowing them. Knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no beginning. You get it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wrote the knowledge. He wrote it, you know, 50,000 years. These things that we're doing, including our class now, Allah wrote it 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah, 50,000 years before the heavens and the earth were created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows He wrote these things. And then somebody will come in this time of ours, and then claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what he does. Ta'allahumma yakunu uluwan kabira. So Allah is al-alim. Al-alim means the one whose knowledge has no restriction. Al-hakim. Al-hakim means the one who is the all-wise, the one who does things based on wisdom. Allah never did something which is not, you know, which doesn't have wisdom in it. Allah doesn't do this, because doing things without having a wisdom behind and doing them, this is what is called abath. Abath means play. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not play. You get it? Innaka anta al-alim al-hakim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And this is also good news to every Muslim. Yani whatever situation you are in, you should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and al-alim, he knows what is going on. You, Allah, you're oppressed by somebody, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He knows your position, he knows your situation, and he watches. And he sees whatever is going on. Actually, what that oppressor is thinking about doing with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything in detail, which the oppressors don't know, actually. Some of the things they might be doing, they don't even know it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So what is your, solution, your protection? Rabbul Alameen, just go back to him. He knows everything. He knows what exactly is going on, or the oppression that is taking place in your life, you know, from others. So when you resort back to him, Ithrillah Azza wa Jal, you will get the support from him. Qala ya Adam anbi'hum bi asma'ih. Qala ya Adam anbi'hum bi asma'ih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam, since the angels, they failed to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the names of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya Adam anbi'hum bi asma'ih. He says, Adam, tell them the names of those things. You know, they failed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now come back to Adam and ask him to tell them the names of those things. فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِ. When Adam alayhi salam told them the names of those things, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, didn't I tell you, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Didn't I tell you that I am the knower of the ghayb, the unseen in the heavens and the earth? Whatever happened and whatever is happening and whatever will happen in the future, didn't I inform you that I know all of these? And that's Rabbul Alameen. He knows all the tenses, all of the knowledge, you know, but the past. Allah knows the past, and he knows the present, and he knows the future. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And also, I know whatever you are hiding and whatever you are exposing. Whatever you hide and whatever you expose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know everything, you know, with no restriction, including that which people are hiding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that's unseen in the heavens, and also on the earth. Like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تَجَهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Subhanallah, أَخْفَى مِنَ السِّرِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, whether you expose your statement, you say it loudly, or you hate it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the secret, and what goes beyond the secret, actually. What goes beyond the secret, and what is what goes beyond the secret, you know? And here also is a place of controversy among the scholars. What exactly is the thing that is beyond the secret? A secret is what you don't, you kept it in secret. Some said what you inform some people, you don't inform others, and some said what you kept it in your heart, you don't share with others. Some said what you are thinking of telling, and the secret is what you keep it with yourself, and the other one is what doesn't come to your brain, but you're going to decide or to think about it whatsoever. Inshallah, when we reach Surah Taha, we discuss that bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. But this is a very good, you know, reminder to all of us that whatever you're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your secret. Whatever you are saying, Allah knows what you are saying. Whatever you hide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are hiding. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you are hiding, and I know what you are exposing. So now the scholars also talk a lot concerning what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean when he says, Ma kuntum taktumun. Angels, what are they hiding? What are they hiding? Because you might be thinking in a negative way. And that's the reason why, since Shaitan is amongst them, the command when it comes includes him also. You get it? And the instructions and the commands and the speeches, whatever comes, it includes Shaitan, not because he's an angel, but because he's in that place. So the ahkam when it comes is also included. So some of the scholars said, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma kuntum taktumun, he's referring to Iblis. Yeah, that arrogance that he was hiding. Animals created, Shaitan, they don't say anything. They not comment and go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was hiding something. And this thing was exposed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to make sujood to Adam alayhi as-salam. So some said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the arrogance, and the jealousy, and the deception, deceiving himself, that he is the best as he is going to be saying in the next ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wama kuntum taktumun. A'lam ma tubduna, I know what you are hiding. Wama kuntum taktumun. I know what you are exposing. What they expose is that they're saying, أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك. And some scholars said, ما كنتم تكتمون is referring to the angels, and according to them, what they are hiding is they think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to create anyone amongst the creation except that they will be better than that creation in terms of ibadat approach. So many scholars said, Ma kuntum taktumun is referring to the shaitan. And you have other scholars who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ma kuntum taktumun, he is referring to the angels themselves. And they explain that what they hide is that belief that no creation will come except that they are the best. Because looking at the fact that constantly, 24/7, these angels, they are in act of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول ابن كثير رحمه الله وأولى الأقوال, this is also the statement of ابن جرير, قال أولى الأقوال في ذلك قول ابن عباس وهو أن معنى قوله تعالى وأعلم ما تبدون أي وأعلم ما علمي غيب السماوات والأرض وما تظهرونه بألسنتكم وما كنتم تخفونه في أنفسكم فلا يخفى علي شيء سواء فلا يخفى علي أي شيء سواء عندي سرائركم وعلانيتكم والذي أظهروه بألسنتهم قولهم أتجعل فيها. So Ibn Kathir, taken from Ibn Jarir, he says the best amongst all of those opinions is the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas when he says the meaning of وَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَأَعْلَمْ مَا تُبْدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يعني, together with my knowledge, the knowledge he mentioned, he says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I know غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the unseen in the heavens and the earth. وَمَا تَذْهِرُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, whatever you say with your tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know that one. And also, وَمَا تُخْفُونَهُ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, whatever you hide in your chest also, I know it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يَخْفَى عَلَيَّ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ, nothing is going to be missing from my knowledge. Nothing is going to be missing. So it's the same as before, whether you say something in secret or you say it in public and out loud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it with me, there is no difference. Sir wa alaniya, you say it or you hide it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's all the same to me. SubhanAllah. It says, what they expose we're still talking about the statement of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. He says their statement, I mean, their statement, what, sorry, I lost the place. He says, the one that they expose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he said, the one that they expose, بألسنتهم قولهم أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها. And are you going to place on earth? Who is going to cause corruption on earth? So this is what Allah SWT is referring to when he says, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. This part of the statement, وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to their statement, أَتَجَعْلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسُدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفُكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Are you going to put on earth somebody who is going to do nothing except corruption? وَالَّذِي كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَهُ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مُنْطَوِيًا إِبْلِيسَ مِنَ الْخِلَافِ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي أَوَامِرِهِ وَالتَّكَبُّرُ عَنْ طَاعَتِهِ. He says, and the one that they are hiding is the one that Shaitan is hiding. As I said earlier, Shaitan is included in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is with them. Not because he's one of them, but he is with them. He's amongst them. He's not an angel by nature, but since he is there worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels, so when the command comes, it includes whoever is found to be there. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, it's like he is treating the shaitan, Iblis, as one of them, not because he's an angel. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean by saying, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ? Ibn Jarir says, this is what Iblis was hiding in his heart about the takabbur, arrogance, and going against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the best approach, wallahu a'lam, not to say that angels are hiding something, but to keep it with Iblis, la'anatullahi alayhi, looking at the fact that he is located in the place where angels are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should remind people and inform them about another karama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the human beings. And this karama is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to make sujood for Adam. Not in the sense of worship, but to respond to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Juduli Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to make sujood. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرُ. And all of them made that sujood except Iblis. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرُ. Iblis, أَبَى. أَبَى means refuse to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَكْبَرُ. And he showed arrogance. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He became amongst the kuffar. This is karama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a human beings. In the past, the previous ayah also shows karama that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on human beings, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them over the angels through knowledge. And that shows that, my dear brothers and sisters, it is a great deficiency for somebody not to be amongst the scholars or students of knowledge. And you, Allah, is a great deficiency. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya mal'una, wa mal'unun ma fiha illa dhikrullahi wa ma wala." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, dunya is curse, and whatever is found in the dunya is also a curse. Illa dhikrullahi wa ma wala. Except dhikrullah azza wa jalla wa ma wala, or something that is related to it, aw alim wa muta'allim, or a student of knowledge or a knowledgeable person. These are the only people who are not affected by this curse. E wallah is a great deficiency not to have knowledge in this dunya, and it's a very big deficiency for a person to go back to Allah's mountain the way you came. We came with no knowledge. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respected and favor us with knowledge. Even the bird, when it has knowledge, it gets some privileges. dog, when it has knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favor that dog and respect that dog. It comes into the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Keeping dog at home is haram, except the dog that is trained to do hunting, or the dog that is trained to act as a security in the farm, or to take care of the sheep. SubhanAllah, that knowledge give them this privilege to escape this rejection in our Sharia. So you want a higher position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, study, study. Whenever we say knowledge, we're talking about the knowledge of Sharia, because this is what will protect you in this dunya. This is what will elevate you in ranking in this dunya and make you a better person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also grant you a good position when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. It grants you a better position when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And it also grants you a better position when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the ranking of those people who believe in him, especially the scholars amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. How is it possible for you to think of comparing between a knowledgeable person and an ignorant? قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. How is it possible for you to think of, equating between these two? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. It is not halal for the believers to move, all of them. SubhanAllah, this is a very noble act of worship people are rushing to do to defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they shouldn't go, all of them. There has to be some group of people who will stay behind and go and study and get the knowledge and spread it to others. That shows the virtue of knowledge. And subhanAllah, when you go to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see a lot of praise by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for knowledgeable people. SubhanAllah, to the extent that in the Quran, go back to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. You want to find the person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the scholars. The best people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are the scholars. If you look at the siyaq of the ayah, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you that nobody fears him except the scholars. They are the one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like nobody is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the scholar. And this is also a good, reference for us to understand that the real knowledge is that which increases your taqwa. The real knowledge is that what increases your taqwa. If the knowledge is not going to increase your taqwa, that knowledge is going to be wabal upon you. That's why knowledge necessitate actions. Knowledge necessitate actions. Remember, as I told you last time, that there was a scholar who is criticized by some students who think they have a lot of knowledge, which put them at the position to talk against the scholars in the way we have nowadays also. So sorry. So they talk against that scholar, and subhanAllah, the criticism against him, it is because he prays a lot of sunnah prayers. SubhanAllah. Imam Al-Dhahabi, when he talks about this person, he says subhanAllah. When he talks about him and defended him, he said subhanAllah. وَهَلْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا الْعَمَلُ بِهِ. Is there any value to knowledge if a person doesn't put it into action? We do have people, I'm telling you the truth, if you pray a lot of sunnah prayers, you know, even in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're rushing to go to the first line all the time. They call you a Sufi. They call you many types of names, different types of names, because they don't do that. And shaitan is deceiving them also to go and distract other people who are doing that. So Imam al-Dhahabi says, "Wa min al-ilmi illa al-amal bihi." So the knowledge that is not taking you to the level of action, this knowledge is going to be against you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Well, Quran hujjatul lak aw alik." Quran is hujja. You know, it's going to be evidence and defense, you know, for you, or it's going to be defense against you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Defense for you when you put it into action. Defense against you when you don't act upon it. Defense for you when you put it into action. Defense against you when you don't act upon it. So there are so many, you know, from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, he says, "وَإِنَّ طَالِبَ الْعِلْمِ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ." Subhanallah. He said, the student of knowledge, everything is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Everything is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the student of knowledge. He says, "كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى الْحِيتَانِ فِي الْبَحْرِ," including the fish in the sea. Everything, including the fish in the sea. حَتَّى النَّمْلَةَ فِي جُحْرِهَا. He says, حَتَّى النَّمْلَةَ فِي جُحْرِهَا, including the ants in the holes. They are also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins. Imagine an act of worship in this way. And also he says, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. Angels, they put their feathers, you know, out of respect to the student of knowledge, because of what he is doing. Angels, when they see a student of knowledge, they put their wings down, in the sense of respect to the student of knowledge. This is who you are, my dear brothers and sisters. If you are sincere and you are serious and you are doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are patient, this is who you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, majalis al-ilm, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you have people gathering themselves in the place, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm sorry, gathering themselves in a place and studying, you know, yatadarasuna al-ilm, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will send angels to come and cover them, you know, angels to come and sit with them. And when they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover them with His mercy. When they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will ask them, "How did you find my state?" They will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly in details. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knows what happened. I mean, what exactly those people are doing. He will tell them, "Ishhadu, you be the witness that I forgive all of these people. Whoever is there," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, "I forgive them." And then the angels will say, "But ya Allah, there is somebody amongst them who is not paying attention to the dars." Yeah, like our classes, you know. But alhamdulillah, he also has good in him. Although he comes to the class to play with his phones, he comes to the class to get busy with something else, but he is there in the class, but better than the person who did not come to the class. So the angels will say this. They will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "But ya Allah, you forgive everyone there, but there is somebody who is not even listening." So embarrassing you, Allah, for angels to take this record about us. You know, that we're there in the class, but we're playing, getting busy with the Facebook, WhatsApp, and YouTube, and whatever. You know, it's so embarrassing, you know. But then, subhanAllah, because of the fact of the value of those people, you, Allah, a person shouldn't choose to be among those whom angels will be reporting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they're not busy, you know, listening to the dars. Because look at the respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upon those people who are busy studying and serious in their education, and they go to the majalis al-ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels, "These are the people, la yashqa bihim jalisuhum," subhanAllah, who whoever sits next to them, when the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to them, we include him. So, subhanAllah. It was so excellent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respect them so much in the way when he sent the mercy to them. Whoever is next to them also will get from that blessing. So if that person also receives a portion of that mercy, what do you think about the people who are paying attention? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, please take this message from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seriously. Be in the classes, don't miss a class. Always go to the class and always be attentive to the class. Listen, this is for your own benefit. You will appreciate this when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the prophets, they did not leave anything to be inherited except knowledge. And therefore, whoever takes from the knowledge, أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَعْفٍ, definitely he got a great portion of a ni'mah and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, warathatul anbiya, they are the scholars. The heirs of the prophets, they are the scholars, because a prophet doesn't leave anything to be inherited, but he left this huge and intensive amount of knowledge to be taken by the people. So whoever wants respect, wants his ranking to be elevated in this dunya, he should seek the knowledge. Who was Imam al-Bukhari? Was a normal person. A Muslim. Ahmad bin Hanbal, Malik ibn Anas. All of these ones, they became great scholars because of their attachment to the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is who we are. And this is also how it is. If you have the knowledge, bi-idhnillah azwajal, if you're sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you up, as the poet says, al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izzi wal-sharafi. Knowledge brought a house that doesn't have foundation up, raised the people in that house up. Wal-jahlu, and the ignorance, yahdimu bayt al-izzi wal-sharafi. Ignorance bring down the noble house and destroy it and tarnish the image of that house. So to cut the story short, there are so many said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fid din." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for any one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him ability to master the knowledge. "Man yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqihu fid din." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for somebody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you an in-depth understanding of the religion. So when Allah wants good for a person, Allah will grant him knowledge. One of our scholars said, this shows indirectly that if Allah doesn't want good for a person, he will take him away from the knowledge and the people of the learning. So my dear brothers and sisters, this should be more than enough for you to be highly motivated to take your classes seriously. Yeah, take your classes seriously. When you leave this life, trust me, what you will leave with is the knowledge. And the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on knowledge. These are the things that will go with you. I'm not saying that dunya knowledge is not important. No, it is. It is if you have good intention and you use it in the way it benefits you and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is going to, inshallah, be one of the means where you get a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the first knowledge to be included in all of these virtues, and the one that is intended, is the knowledge of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what helps you, you know, to do that which happened to be the objective of your existence. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have never created human beings or jinn except to worship me. So whatever can help you to know what to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard, this should be the best thing a Muslim should be busy with. So don't go and engage in the knowledge of the dunya without, you know, studying the akhirah. Wallahi, you will regret, my dear brothers and sisters. You will regret. And nobody will love to regret when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So that's the little I can say. I will conclude this with the statement of Imam Ahmad, Al-ilmu la ya'diluhu shay'un liman sahhat niyatuhu. Knowledge doesn't have anything to be, you know, compared with, you know, there is nothing which is equal to knowledge, Imam Ahmad said, liman sahhat niyatuhu, as long as the intention is good. Allah, because nothing is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you don't do it in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do it. And if we're saying this, that's it is necessary for you to learn. And this knowledge is not going to be a valuable thing for you unless if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So that's the best place, inshallah, to stop in the next dars. I will go back to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Adam, if there is any question, please come up.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, there's two questions. The first being, a brother asks, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Does every single hadith
Salam.
need explanation, even simple ones?
A brother ask.
He asks, does every single hadith need an explanation, even the simple ones?
No. That's the approach of the liberalist. Yeah, when they want to reject the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, they will tell you everything needs explanation. No, there are things which are very clear. You know, Rasulullah ﷺ did not explain things to the companions. Few things which they don't understand, they ask. But this is Arabic language. Whoever understands Arabic should understand. Yes, for sure, there are some, you know, information would need explanation because these are matters of fiqh, matters of aqidah, matters of this and that, you know, but the vast majority of it, if you master the Arabic language, you should understand what exactly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the Quran. You know, how many times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the ayat of the Quran to the companions? Very little. Aisha radiallahu anha said very little. And if you look at the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to the translation of the Quran, very little, which means the vast majority of it is clear to everyone. The same goes to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? So if a person knows the Arabic language, he should know the meaning of most of these things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. You get it? And there are things which you need explanation from the scholars. You have to get explanation from the scholars for you to avoid getting deviation. But they are simple, you know, especially those hadiths of akhlaq, manners and virtues, you know, things that talking about history, you know, wisdom. They're simple. You know, they have to be like that so that everyone can be able to understand them and put them into action. If they are too tough and difficult in the way, you have to go and look for the scholars to explain everything for you, then what is the point of including every single person, you know, in terms of acting upon that which Rasulullah is saying? The Bedouins, they understand what Rasulullah is saying. They're not scholars. They don't know what knowledge is all about, but they understand those simple hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also like that. Not every hadith need that critical explanations by the scholars. May Allah grant us good. I heard one of them saying, من بدل دينه فاقتلوه. Whoever changes his religion, kill him. Somebody says, no, this one needs interpretation. SubhanAllah, another person was refuting him, saying, what interpretation? This hadith is very clear, and that's true, very clear. Ask any Arab person, do you understand what Rasulullah said? He will tell you yes. And so if there is nothing coming to, you know, say otherwise, we have to go with that literal meaning. Yeah. You get it? I'm not saying everyone should make himself a scholar, but it's not true to say that everything, there has to be an explanation for everything. Yeah, this is Aqidah of Batiniyin. You get it? You know, but there are many, 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 many others. That's where we have schools, that's where we have student of knowledge, that we have, that's where we have scholars, because they go and study and learn. And others, they do not reach that level. And they understand, you know, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they understand what other people might not be able to understand. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Barakallahu feek.
A question from, I think, a brother. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I want to seek knowledge full-time in Medina, but how will I provide for my family? I have a worry that it will become difficult for me to find jobs later on in life. How do I get rid of this worry? Jazakallah khair.
We all study in Medina, Alhamdulillah, and we have thousands of people who graduated Medina, Alhamdulillah, and they live. Yeah, you see, for how long? I graduated from Medina 2000. That's 23 or 24 years. Yeah, 22, 23, 24 years. We live, Alhamdulillah. And comfortable life, Alhamdulillah. With all the distraction and the statement we have been hearing that, you know, if you study Islamic studies, you will survive. But Alhamdulillah, we live. Alhamdulillah. And we have so many. Allah, we have scholars who are not dependent on they graduated, our seniors. I'm talking about some of the people that I know them. Personally, I know them. They graduated from Islamic University of Medina and they came back home. They engage in business. They don't beg anyone. They don't praise anyone. They don't join the politics. They're not with anyone. They just teach people day and night. They enjoy reading. Great scholars, if you sit with them, you know that yes, you're dealing with great scholars. They spend their life from the bachelor's, you know, master's and PhD, and they finish. And now, even their journeys, when they travel, they go with the business. You know, subhanAllah, and they go for Hajj and Umrah. And somebody was telling me that whenever they go with students. Most likely, they're paying for those students also to accompany them. How did they get? Rabbul Alameen. Allah never placed the risk, you know, to only be restricted to the study you're having. And actually, to be honest with you, my dear brother, especially the questioner, you know, if you look at this life, you know that risk is not based on this certificate that you're going to be receiving when you graduate from the university. You want to be rich, you have to keep it aside, also move forward in the business. Almost all the people who are rich on earth, those people that you can point with your hand and say, yeah, these are the rich people. You know, those people that dunya recognize them as the rich people, tell me which one among them that is rich, you know, by just sitting down in the office receiving that little amount of salary that is not in most instances sufficiently enough to cater for his daily needs. Which one is doing that? Go and ask the people who are working, and they can tell you. You know, it's only a few who are getting, you know, something, but most likely you will never be that rich just because of that certificate you get. I'm not belittling the knowledge. No, it's great for a person to educate himself, a junior education, but to restrict the knowledge to it, I'm telling you, this is a failure in life. And that's the reason why many people got stranded. How many times you hear people crying out that there is no job, there is no job, there is no job, you know, government is not giving us job, you know, they became jobless. Why? Because they're lazy. Trust me, the amount of the resources and the opportunities that Allah put around us is more than enough for us to make a move. And if you want to become rich, you don't go to the offices and sit down. You do business. And Allah to put so many opportunities on. So there is no connection between risk and that which you are studying. These are two different things. We never heard of a place where the Prophet Sallallahu said risk is restricted to the knowledgeable people, whether the dunya knowledge or others. Most of the people who get into trouble in some countries, you know, when they reach old age, they are the people who used to work in the offices. The government is not giving them the gratuity or the pension. You know, they became stranded because they don't have any other business other than this job. And they're forced to retire. And now they get into trouble. Or when they die, their family get into trouble because they have nothing else other than this. So I will advise you, if you have interest, go and study, but open your eyes to the business. And also when you come back, there are some other opportunities. Who says you have to be somebody who works in the company, you know, who says you have to be somebody who does this and that? We have a lot of other opportunities that a person can do with the certificate he get. We teach. You can join that community if you have passion to that. And it's more than enough for you also to live. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. There are many people who are doing this. And there are thousands of them who refuse to go for this. They go for business. They just teach people on their own. Yeah, last one to grant is good, but I really advise you not to think in this way. Open your eyes, and even if you choose not to go to Medina, you choose to go to any university that teaches the dunya knowledge, no problem. Have good intention, that one also has no issue. But do not, attach your risk to that one. Hang your heart with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go and invest and do business. The little you have invested, biiznillah azza wa jalla, Allah will barakah in it. And if you fail in this one, use another way. So many opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded us with, but unfortunately we are not seeing this because we are trained in the school to believe that you need to get good result and good certificate so that you can have good job. Yes, it's good to get good certificate and good result, but you should not attach and connect your risk to this one. So go and study. It's your virtue, the favor, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to study in those places and to master the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nobody who is like you on earth if you learn, as long as they don't, and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are 100% better than them in this regard. So don't you ever be distracted with these shallow information that we hear them from time to time. We have a lot of evidences to show to the people that restricting yourself to this thinking is the thing that is going to cause you to fail in the future in life. Open your eyes and do business and engage in trading, which student of knowledge can do, ignorant can do, everyone can do. Most of these things that you learn in the school, trust me, they are there given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free of charge. Many of them you don't need to study, it's part of this. That's why you find people in the village, they became so rich. And those people with PhD and professors, they're still struggling to live. Don't that tell us something? You Allah, for me, it tells me a lot. It tells me a lot that opportunities have been given to us. But our thinking, distract us from seeing these opportunities. In the university, how many people graduate from the university when they go out? They just go and engage in business and they don't want to go on. You have a lot. So please, the question, I really appreciate this question, but I advise you to open your mind and think in the correct way. And all of us, not only him or her, but I'm talking to all of us. Open your brain. Look things in the way they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lot, more than what we need. But unfortunately, laziness is the thing that is putting us down. I give you one example and then I close this with. Most of the places where I go, where you see the citizen in a place, they hate the internationals when they come. You know why they hated them? One of the mo main reasons why they're hated in the place, in those places, it is because they're more proactive in engaging in and grabbing the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the place. Wallah, I hear from any places, people are talking against, the people who are not part of the citizen place. And you try to understand why. Is it because they are bad? No, not because they are bad. Yes, there are some who are really bad. The focus should be on those ones. But these ones, they talk against everyone. The hasad is there. It cannot improve. It cannot buy something good. Otherwise, people will start talking, how come he came to this place and grabbing the things? Trust me, my dear brothers, this is how it is. We, the citizen in a place, will always become lazy because we believe our government is providing us with everything. And you remain like this for ages, never become rich. And you see somebody who is coming from outside, grabbing the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the place which nobody is using. And then he became the richest. I went to a country, subhanAllah, the richest person in that country is not a part of the country members. He's the richest person in that country. And people talk, as usual, people talk against him. Why? He's coming from outside and then he is becoming like this and that. Why not? Because he did and we did not do. He looked into those opportunities, but we agreed to just be in the offices. That's why he goes and say, oh, Allah wants to put a lot in this place, and nobody's doing. And then he'll start doing. And then people will start becoming jealous. So this is an example. I just want to give this the person who is asking this question that opportunities are there in every place. The only thing is just to wake up and grab them Inshallah, you will understand in the future what I'm telling you. I know there are thousands of people who take this advice from our scholars and they became so rich. And they are scholars, they are students of knowledge, teaching the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also on top of all, it helps them to be independent in their fatwas. You get it? If Adam is paying me, paying my salaries and paying everything, you know, my fatwa, most likely, if I'm not careful, is going to be influenced by his decisions and what he wants. But those people, they are not related to anyone. They speak in the way they believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Of course, with wisdom, not provoking anyone, but they say the truth. Because you do have some people who are the ulama ul-umma, those people who want to have proud. I want to see in my class 10,000, 5,000. We have heard about people who don't even give a lecture if they don't have 5,000 coming to them. A'udhu billah. We heard about this. Yeah. Why is this? And we have some people, they don't come and give lecture unless if you pay them a lot. If you don't, they will not. You have to provide them this, you have to provide them that, then they will come and give. Alhamdulillah, we have other alternatives. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you go and see those ones. You get it? So I guess this message, inshallah, is more than enough for all of us to understand things correctly. Yeah? There is risk, there is education. Both of them are important, and you should look for the risk through the right channels. Don't restrict yourself. Something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict your risk to it, you will get into trouble in the future. Yes, Adam.
Yahya Sharaf asks, what is our duty to our brothers and sisters in Palestine?
To make dua for them, to support them financially. Always remember them in your dua. Not when you see what is happening to them, to remember them in your dua. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid them. And whatever you can support them financially to do. That's what we can do. Because you are not located in Palestine. So it doesn't make sense to come and destroy your properties in the place wherever you are located. So you make dua for them. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them against their enemy and to show the time when this enemy will be humiliated on earth. And inshallah, they will see this bi-idhnil wahid al-ahad. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate, to release them from any difficulty they are facing in their life. And this one, as I said, you shouldn't just, what do you call, do it when you see them. No, you should do it all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good.
Uzair asks, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Regarding the two rak'ah before Fajr, we have different narrations about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite in the second rak'ah from Al Imran. Do we take all the narrations and recite different each time?
Whenever you have something that is related to Ikhtilaf Tanawwu' Uzair, sometimes you do this, sometimes you do that. This is the best approach of the scholars when you have the. Whenever you have narrations, you know, this one is saying this and this one is saying that, the best is to do this sometimes and to do that sometimes. Because this is the best way to do it. The scholar said, Al-Jama'ula min al-Tarjih. Combining two things and making use of them, as long as both are authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is always better than favoring one of them. Yeah, if there is a way to do all of them, it's better sometimes to do this and sometimes to do that. May Allah grant us good. Yeah. Not to combine them all together at once, you know, in one moment you do this, you do that, you do this, you do no. The scholar said the best and the wisdom is to do this now. Next time to do the other one. Next time to do the other, you know.
One more question from Uzair. Would it be possible to ask for the explanation of this hadith? Iqra'u al-Quran bi innahu ya'ti shifa'an ashabi.
Shafi'an li ashabi.
Shifa'an ashabi. Iqra'u Zahrawain al-Baqarah wal Ali al-Imran fa innahum ya'ti يأتياني يوم القيامة كأنهم غمامتين، مثلث غمامتين أو غيايتين
غمامتين تاني.
أو فرقان من طير، سوف تحاجين عن صاحبهم هما صاحبهما. Ooh, need to find the ضرار. آسف شيخ، the text is small. So اقرأ بقرة فإن أخذها بركة وتركها حسرة ولا
حسن
تستطيعها بطلة.
البطلة. نعم. إن شاء الله عزير, that will be the first question بإذن الله عز وجل to be answered when Adam read the hadith correctly. بإذن الله تعالى next class I will give the full interpretation of this hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, سورة البقرة وآل عمران. تأتيان يوم القيامة كأنهما غمامتين أو غيايتين بإذن الله عز وجل. بارك الله فيك. So Adam, next time you have to enlarge the text and
Yeah, I will
read it.
find the hadith on Durar and read it properly, inshallah.
No problem, inshallah.
Sheikh, do you still have time?
Yeah, if that is a short question, yes.
Okay, I read about Abu Tahir al-Janabi, Lanatullah, and I'm confused as to what his deen is. Is he a Shia? Is he a Khawari? Is he a Khariji? Is he a fire worshipper? What is he?
I don't know. Who is asking this?
Me.
Oh, you. Okay. What did you read about him? I don't know him.
Abu Tahir al-Janabi.
But you can go to the same source and get us something about him. I don't know, so I cannot talk about him.
Okay.
Inshallah.
I forgot a critical point in Bulugh al-Maram. Is the when we deem a food haram to eat because it is disgusting, this is because of the fitra of the Salaf and the statement of the scholars, correct?
When we
If we determine a food is haram because it is disgusting, this is irrelevant regarding the local culture. It is only for the fitra of the Salaf and the statement of the scholars for what is disgusting and what is not.
You mean determining what is disgusting or what and what is not?
Yes, because I remember we narrated a story about the tribe who ate everything except the dung beetle.
No, we are not saying that tribe is doing the right thing, because this is part of the fitrah. I guess wherever you go, with the exception of those people, wherever you go, most of the people on earth, they found worms disgusting. True?
Yes.
Yeah, the vast majority. Most of the people on earth, they found cockroaches disgusting. You get it? So that's why we go with the fitrah of the vast majority of the people. There might be some people who go against this. They eat everything, as Ibn Uthaymeen was mentioning about that tribe who eats everything. So we don't say what is disgusting and what is not is determined by the Salaf al-Saleh. No, we don't say this. We say it determined by the fitrah of the people, the vast majority of the people, what people consider disgusting and what is not. You get it, Adam? Yeah, that's why the khaba'ith, the insects, the scholars rejected them because they call them khaba'ith. Except what is exempted by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the grasshoppers or another the locust. You know, that type of grasshopper which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make it permissible for us to eat. Other than that, whatever is disgusting, the scholars have mentioned that these are prohibited based on the ayah that says, وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. You get it, Adam? So not to say that we focus on what the Salaf al-Saleh considered as disgusting. No. There are things which they might individually take it as disgusting, but it is not. You know, to us, the Prophet ﷺ did not eat a bob. He says he found it uneasy. It doesn't look, you know, good to him. But that was him. That's why he did not make it impermissible. He let them eat it. So we understand that it is okay for people to eat. فترته ما قبلت, لكن the vast majority of the people they ate. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not work on his own fitra nature. He just let people go with it as long as they can eat it and they ate it. You get it? So we look into the fitra of the people nowadays, not before. Yeah, unless if there is something which is rejected by the Salafus Salih, they look at it as disgusting, then we confirm that this is disgusting. But they didn't discover everything. Not everything was found in their own territories. So we're going to find new things. If we say you have to get it from the Salafus Salih, whether they took it or not, then how do I judge these ones? Is that clear, inshallah?
Yes.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. Barakallah.
Sheikh, do you have time for one more short question?
Yes, inshallah.
Here's a hadith. قال كانت راية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سوداء ولواءه أبيض. So what is the difference between راية and لواءه?
والله أعلم. And most likely one of them is the banner and the other one is the flag. But I'm not sure. Give me this assignment, Adam, inshallah, next week, إذن الله تعالى, to see if I can find any difference mentioned by the scholars other than that which I have mentioned to you. Yes, that's famous hadith. كانت رايته سوداء ولواءه أبيض. So give me this, inshallah, assignment, بإذن الله تعالى, in the next class. I will get it for you, inshallah.
Inshallah.
That's the last one.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.